So on Friday, I was doing some Easter shopping with my family. And as you can imagine, there was Easter stuff everywhere. And I got thinking as we were walking around that Easter does not have a nativity scene. And what I mean by that is at Christmas time, among all the elves and the tinsel and Christmas trees and mall Santas and all those other things, you still see nativity sets, don't you? You still see those around some to show you, here's what Christmas is really all about. But at Easter, we don't have that. In the secular world, as you go around and you do your shopping around Easter time, there's not a whole lot of empty graves around, is there? I don't know the last time that I saw an empty grave set sitting on somebody's mantle at Easter time. And there's a good reason that is, and that's because our enemy hates the resurrection. Hates the resurrection. As Christians, we understand what Easter is. We know what Easter is, but he tries his very best to keep that away from the world. I know that as Christians, we understand what Easter is, but sometimes I wonder if we understand what the resurrection is. And what I mean by that is it seems like when I grew up in church, around Easter time, we talked about the cross a lot. There was a lot of talk about the cross, and then the Easter story just kind of seemed like the happy ending to the cross, right? We know the cross, we have a cross there and another cross there, we have three crosses there, probably some of you are wearing crosses. We know all about the cross, and we think about the resurrection, we think about Easter a lot of times as well, that's the happy ending. That's the happy ending to the cross, but the resurrection is extremely vitally important. It's so much more than a happy ending. What I mean by that is if you keep the whole rest of the story, if you keep the birth of Jesus, if you keep all the miracles that he did and his death on the cross, but you don't have the resurrection, we are hopeless people. We are hopeless people. And so that's why the enemy loves to keep that away from the world, and that's why we can come today, and we must celebrate not just a holiday named Easter, we got to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's where our hope lies. So today what I want to do is I want to take a look at why the resurrection is so important. If you brought your Bible with you, we're going to spend our whole time in the book of Romans today. Whole time in the book of Romans. And we're going to look mainly at Romans chapter 8. And I want to read for you verses 10 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 17. It says, "Now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." The resurrection is important to our past, our present, and our future. It is our restoration in the past. It's what's restored us to God. It's our obligation today as we live. We live as resurrected people. And finally, it's our destination for the future. The resurrection is what tells us, shows us, and empowers us to go where it is that we're going as followers of Jesus Christ. Let me open us up in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would reveal the truth, the importance, and the beauty of the resurrection today. Father, I ask that each of us would see it as we've never seen it before. I ask that you would give us fresh eyes to see the incredible beauty of the resurrection, to know what it means for our life, and to go from this place rejoicing, standing in awe of who you are and what you've done for us. Father, bless us with your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. So to understand what the resurrection accomplishes for us, we first have to understand what the cross accomplished for us. And that comes from the book of Romans, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 5:8, if you're taking notes today. But that walks us through the story and tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Every single one of us has sinned, and because of that, we have deserved, we have earned death. But because of God's great love for us, he has sent Jesus Christ to live that perfect life, to die on that cross so that our sins can be forgiven. And so we have to know what the cross has done for us to know what the resurrection has done for us. But one thing I think we miss so often is that to be forgiven is not enough. Have you ever had a pastor tell you that to be forgiven is not enough? I want to share with you a really important verse in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised, resurrected for our justification. So he was delivered over to that cross, and that happened to forgive us of our sins. But his resurrection is what justified us. Now, justification means put right. It means lined up with. You see, if I'm a sinful person and I get forgiven of my sins, then I still don't deserve a place with God because I am still a human. I am still not perfect and righteous and holy just because I've been forgiven for the bad things I've done wrong. We need to be justified. We need to be lined up with God. We need to be holy, righteous people. We need to be born again. We need to be someone brand new than who we used to be if we're going to be with God for all eternity. In verse 11 in our passage today, back to Romans 8, verse 11, it tells us that resurrection is in our mortal bodies now, and we know that it'll be complete in our mortal bodies one day when we are physically resurrected to be with God, to be with Christ for all eternity. So for those of us, for my brothers and sisters who have accepted that free gift, that's what the resurrection has done for us in our past. It has restored us to God. Restored us completely to him. I want to tell you today, if you're here with us and you have never accepted that forgiveness that can only come from the cross, I want you to leave here today without doing that. I want to share with you one last passage in this point from Romans, and it's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. Since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. It has already been accomplished. All you have to do is accept that fact and put your faith in him. Which actually brings us to the next thing I want to share with you, and that's that our obligation in the present, today, as we live, our obligation is to Christ. As I've done ministry over the years, the question gets asked over and over and over again. What we just read in Romans chapter 10 is too simple, right? It's too easy to say, all you have to do is ask for forgiveness. All you have to do is believe in who Christ is and what he has done. And ask for that forgiveness and you're forgiven. And the question that comes up over and over again in ministry is, well, that's too simple. If that's the way it works, then why don't you ask for forgiveness and then go through life and do whatever the heck you want to? Because you can be forgiven for it. Well, if we look back in verses 12 through 14 of our passage today in Romans chapter 8, we see why that's not true. It says, so then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Essentially what Paul is saying there is, after what Christ has done for you, do you want to live a death life? Or do you want to live a life life? Do you want to live a death life or do you want to live a life life? In Romans chapter 6, Paul puts it this way, and he explains it in a little more detail in those first five verses of Romans chapter 6. It says, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in the likeness of his death. We will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, a very big part, a vital part, an important part of accepting Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins is recognizing that sin leads to death, is recognizing that sin is what ruins our life. In fact, if you have the point of view that I'm going to accept Christ's forgiveness for my sins so that I can continue to sin, you've missed the point completely. The point is that we are slaves to sin. It is destroying us. It's eating away at our souls, and it's leading us into death, and we've been freed from that. And how can us who have been raised with Christ want to continue in that sin? Now, how many of you are sinners still? All right, I better see every one of those hands. Right up here. I still sin, and you know what? I hate it. I hate it. It breaks my heart every single time. And I go to God over and over again in my sins and say, how in the world do you love me? How in the world do you forgive me? And Father, empower me. Because I know that these sins in my life are destroying me and destroying my family, destroying my church and the people I love. These have to be gone from me. Not for a single second in the midst of my sin do I go, man, I'm glad you forgave me because I'm enjoying this. See, if that's your perspective, then you miss the point of what Christ has done altogether. We have been freed from our sin. John 10:10, Jesus himself says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly, so that you could have the best life possible. So it shows us and everyone else that this is what Christ has done in our life. Now, that's one of the reasons that we, as followers of Christ, think that baptism is important. Do you notice how Paul explains that truth? He says, we who have died with Christ and been buried with him have been raised to new life. We who have been baptized with Christ have died and been raised. You see that truth about what's happened in our life and the forgiveness that's taken place? That needs to show itself in physical, tangible, material ways. That needs to change the way we live. And one of the ways that we show ourselves in the world that I am born again, I'm no longer that person that's a slave to sin, is by going into the baptism waters, is by taking that step and saying, I'm going to be baptized. I'm put under the water and I've been buried with Jesus and I have come out of the water a brand new man or a brand new woman, and I'm not a slave to that sin anymore. And that's an important aspect of being a follower of Christ, because that's that tangible way that we show that. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, here this morning, if you have come and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've never been baptized, boy, that's a beautiful moment in time to point to. When you struggle with that sin, when you're in that dark place and you're praying to God and you're saying why, you can go back to that place and you say, God, I remember that day. And I remember that old Shane has died. I've been buried, and there's a new Shane living today, and I am not a slave to that anymore. That's a great moment in your history and your walk with Christ to go back and to point to that and to say, I remember, I have died with Christ and been raised again. And it's important because it makes that link between what's happened in our heart and what is happening in our world. It's an important reminder, a day in your history, to show that your obligation is not to sin anymore. Your obligation is to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So Christ's resurrection, it restores us to God in our past. It is that thing that takes us and restores us to him. And it gives us a new obligation in our present and today as we live. But it also gives us an incredible destination for our future. We look at the last few verses of our passage today in Romans chapter 8. verses 15 through 17. Actually, we can go back to verse 14. It says, for all those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Dad, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. In these last few verses, we learn the implications of this new life. The implications for eternity of this resurrected life. First of all, I love in there that we don't have to fear anymore. There are so many things. I don't know about you, but there are so many things in this world that I fear. I have a fear of failure. We fear death. We fear insignificance, that our life's never going to matter. That's what's so beautiful about being God's child. Not simply a servant, not someone who can be let go or fired, a child of God. We are his children, and that means when we are resurrected with Christ, we are his children, and that means we are always his children. Nothing changes that. I have a brother who's a pretty amazing artist, and about 9 years ago for Christmas, he surprised us all and made us a Canon family crest. So that's our Canon family crest that he designed for us. Canon family crest over there, everybody in your cars. You see it okay? I was so proud of that. Actually, I had one of my motorcycle jackets. I had somebody carve it in leather, and I put it on the back of my jacket. That's my gang. I love that for many reasons, but one of the reasons I love that is my father came from a really, really bad place in life. He grew up without any kind of father figure. In fact, several men in and out of his house, and most of them were the opposite of a father. He grew up with nothing in this horrible dark place. And my father came out of that, came to Christ, and created a wonderful family. A wonderful family, an amazing family. And he showed me a true picture of what a father is supposed to be. And I know that I belong to him. He has created a legacy. And I'm part of that legacy now. And I am his son, and nothing will ever change that. I am part of his family, and I have screwed up, and I know I have disappointed him at times, but that has never once changed the fact that I am his son. And at the center of our family crest is the cross. Because what Jesus has accomplished for us means that I am a child of God as well. That is my heritage. That is who my father is. One of my friends, actually, he's a Romero. And he has his family crest tattooed on his arm. I don't know if I'd ever get a tattoo, but that's a pretty good one, right? Because that never changes. That is always his family. That's always his heritage. So it gives me a great peace knowing that no matter how much I fall short, I will always belong to that family. But the second thing it does for me is it gives me a sense of responsibility that I want to carry that on. That I am his child, and that means that I want to live that heritage. I want to be that man that I should be. If you're here with us today, and you're one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and you've done the things we've talked about, you've come to know Jesus and all he's done for you, you've been baptized, I think sometimes it's easy to fall away in the fact that we forget where we belong. We forget who we really are. We forget who our brothers and sisters really are. We forget who our father is. We forget who our brother Jesus Christ is. And I would encourage you to take some time today, this week, spend some time in prayer on that. Because this last year especially, but in our life in general, it's really easy to get discouraged. It's really easy to feel like you don't belong anywhere. It's really easy to feel like you're a stranger in this world. You know why? Because you are. But you belong to a family that's so much bigger than this world. There's great peace knowing that no one can ever take that away from you. And there's great responsibility knowing that you've been called to continue that heritage. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's exactly who we are. So I made it to the end, and I still have my notes in my hand. That was one of my big goals for just now, and I've accomplished it. What does the resurrection mean? Why is it important? It's restored us from our sinful past. It is the resurrection that gives us an obligation to live for Christ in our present. It is the resurrection that seals our future destination in the house of God for all eternity. So I want to challenge you today. I really want to ask every single one of you to make a decision. And depending on where you're at in life today, here's what I want to ask of you. First of all, if you have never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you make that decision today? He is the only one who has become a man, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to for his own good. But he gave it all up, he made himself nothing, became a man, became obedient to death, and not just any death, but death on a cross. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever would believe in him does not perish, but has everlasting life. If you're here with us today and you've come to that truth and you understand that and you've never taken that step to be baptized, I don't want you to put it off any longer. I want you to have that time in your life, that tangible thing where you can say, I am dead to this world and I am resurrected in Jesus Christ. And if you've been saved and you've been baptized and you're here today as a brother and sister in Christ, I want you to spend some time. I want you to make a new commitment to your heritage. Have you forgotten what an incredible privilege it is to be an heir to the kingdom of God? To be in his family for all eternity? Take a moment today and recenter your life on that truth and on that fact. So I want to invite the band to come up. What we're going to do is we're going to play one song while I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of give that some thought and some prayer today. And here's some ways that you can respond. One is, a lot of you have my phone number. If you have my phone number, just text me today, okay? I'm looking forward to a whole line of texts when I leave church today. I want you to text me and I want you to say, Pastor Shane, this is where I'm at. This is the decision I made on Easter Sunday morning. If you got your smartphone today, you can go to our website, mcfpueblo.org. mcfpueblo.org, and my email address is right there, and you can shoot me an email. And you could say, Pastor Shane, here's where I'm at. Here's the decision I made today. I am looking forward to having a full inbox after church gets out today. The other thing that I've done for you is we got a table right there in the corner. And on that table, we have a little card called a welcome card. And on there, there's some places to mark decisions that you've made or things that God is doing in your heart. And take a moment today. You can go over there. It's in the shade. So everybody will think you're just cooling off. You can go over there, fill out a card, and drop it in that box. And I'm looking forward to the box being stuffed. In fact, there's offering boxes in the foyer, and you can put them in there because that box can be full by the end of this time. But I want to encourage you, make a decision today. Wherever you're at in life, don't leave here. And I'll tell you too, I need that encouragement. I need to hear from you. I need to hear sometimes more than just, Pastor Shane, that was a good sermon. I appreciate that, but I also want to know what God's doing in your heart, and I want to know how he's working. So I'd encourage you today, respond in some way. Respond in some way. God's done something in your heart today. Don't keep it a secret. Don't keep it to yourself. And if for some reason you're not comfortable with any of those ways, then you find that follower of Christ that you know has a life that's close to him, and you talk to them about it. But don't keep it a secret. Don't just leave it in your heart. Share what's going on. All right, we're going to do one more song, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond during the song, and then I'm going to come up here in a little bit and just close us in prayer.
Wish that I was there on that silent David's town.
so awesome to see everybody here this morning. What a great morning, huh? We are going to release the kids right here in just a minute so they can do their Easter egg hunt. These gates are open, so you don't have to go through the building and get all crowded. And so you can come, head through these gates. We're going to let the kids go. It's going to be a free-for-all out here. So we'll try to give all the parents a chance to get over there and get your cameras ready. That's going to be our last activity for the day, is the kids' Easter egg hunt, and then we'll be out of here. And so thank you for coming. Man, it just blesses my heart to see everybody this morning. Can I get one last honk from the cars? All right, let me close this in prayer. We'll be done today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters. Thank you that we can gather together. Again, thank you that we have the freedom to do that. Thank you for the joy and the encouragement, the strengthening we get from one another. Father, thank you that you've created us, that it's not good for man to be alone. Thank you that you created us in such a way that we need one another. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. I ask that we would continue to encourage, support, and love one another. And then, as we do that, send each other out on mission. Lord, to a lost and broken world, people who need to hear about Jesus, about his life, about his death, and about his resurrection for our new life. Father, let us support one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, lift each other up in that mission. Father, do that work in our hearts. Do that work in our church, and do that work in our world. Thank you for Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.